Well, I would bring Kristen greetings in the name of Jesus to our precious brothers and sisters as we gather here in the name of the Lord and in His power, in His love. And certainly was blessed this morning. One of the other brethren made mention about the blessedness of the sunrise. And I had the same experience this morning, the sun rising, and of course the frost. The frost was so, the ground was so covered with frost. And as the sun rose, it wherever there wasn't a shadow, it melted. And certainly we saw God in that again. He confirmed His presence again this morning to us as we awoke and were able to think and long to come to the service this morning. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands how many thought of that when they woke up, but you know, it's something that we always need to be God conscious and to see God in things that are, and especially in the rising of the sun that gives us light, and the blessedness of the Son of God, the S-O-N, Son, who gives us light. He is our light, and we want to walk in the light as He is in the light, and love as He loved. Now, I guess we would have, all of us would probably have gotten enough to keep us going this morning in our devotional that was shared with us, and the Sunday school lesson. We have a lot to work on, don't we, without this message. But this is just a more of the same, and encouraging. And may we all realize the importance of pressing on toward that mark, day by day, and walking in the steps of Jesus. If you want a title for the message, it is the Trial of Your Faith. And our devotional was, I think that brought that out very well. The trial of the faith of those that are the children of Israel. I assume he was talking about that. And they everything was going well, but then they kind of drifted off to the left hand or to the right. And then God brought them to the point where they cried out, you know, and he renewed His love and His forgiveness and His wonderful works to the children of men. And so it is a great blessing that we even experience that God loves us so much that He brings us to the point where sometimes how are we going to go through this? So we definitely turn to the Lord. It's our first place to go. It's the only place to go. And so turn with me to 1 Peter for Bible reading. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter was writing to the those Christians that were scattered abroad through the persecution of the Church of Jesus Christ when it was established there on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 souls were added to the church, and they moved on from there. And Peter is just years later, he was reminding them of the importance of walking with Him and walking in holiness, and simply realize the goodness of God. And oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Peter chapter 1, first epistle. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept. This is the condition, you know, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently and prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand, beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God and raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Certainly some marvelous instruction as we journey our pathway of life and continue on in him, in Jesus Christ, who alone is perfect. The trial of your faith. He says here that it might be, the key verse would be 7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. You know, I just want to turn to Malachi for a few verses there, where he says in chapter 3, Behold, I will send my messenger, another prophetic scripture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God coming, He shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day? Now, but who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Verse 4 and 5, and he shall, then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. Paul refers to that as a sweet-smelling savor. And verse 5, I will come near to you to judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages and the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right. And fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. This refiner's fire that the prophet Malachi talks about is to purify, to cleanse, and to get rid of the dross in our lives. And he goes on there in verse 3, and I've got a little explanation on this. Who may abide in the day of his coming? Though he comes not to condemn the world, this is God in his great love, but that the world through him might have life. Even in the days of his flesh, there were some animations of his glory and power, such as none could stand before. Witness his transfiguration. And Peter and John and James, I believe, experienced that transfiguration on top of the mountain. They couldn't look at it. Who can stand when he comes? And he says the fuller's soap, which with much rubbing and working with to get rid of the spots in our lives. I remember very well when my mother used to use a washboard, and she would take a piece of soap, and she had some spots on some cloth, some dresses or whatever it was, and she would rub that soap on there, and then she would just rub it up and down on those little washboardy ridges and really work. And that's what the prophet is talking about here, is to cleanse us. He shall sit as a refiner and a cleaner of the cloth. The gospel shall work good upon those that are disposed to be good. To them it shall be a savor of life unto life. Purge them as gold and silver. That is, that they may be in sincerity converted unto God and consecrated. He makes the tree good so that the fruit is good. That's what he's interested in. I will come near to you in judgment. You know, and he will judge us according to our works. So may we invite that refiner that sits there by the pot. And as the dross comes up on top, he scrapes it off to where the gold and silver is purified. And that's what he has in mind with us, with you and I, in some of these trials that we face, to be purified and to be cleansed. And he's working on us. Like the songwriter says, he created the world and everything else and said in 6 days, but he's still working on me. And I appreciate that. May the Lord have his way in our lives. And when we fail, may we realize that we have failed and willingly acknowledge and let the Lord cleanse us through repentance and amendment of life. Job, in chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." Job experienced that, and you know the trials of Job that Job had. In chapter 16, verse 12, he says, "I was at ease, but he has broken me asunder. He hath also taken me by the neck and shaken me to pieces and set me up for his mark." Not for our mark, but for his mark. And that we press on as the Apostle Paul. It's interesting that the Apostle Paul uses that same term when he says, "I press toward the mark." Not as though I've already perfect or have already attained, but I press toward that mark, God's mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So Job saw that mark as well in his chastening of the Lord. And in chapter 23, verse 10, he says, "But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Oh, may that happen to every one of us with the struggles that we have, the things we struggle through, the testings of our life, that we can come forth as gold. Gold tried by fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, tried by fire. You know that story well. But they stood firm. They told Nebuchadnezzar, "We will not bow down to that image that you have made." He says, "Well, you're going to burn up in this furnace." Didn't say that, I'm using my own words. But that's what he meant. And so those Hebrew Christians said, "Our God can save us from that fire. And if not, be it known unto you." I don't think they were arrogant or anything like that. They were probably really humbled. But they said, "We will not bow down to that image." And God took them through the fire. Daniel was in the lion's den for a whole night. He was confronted with a situation. The word tells us that he was an excellent spirit in him. And that and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Daniel was one of those three presidents over the 100 or whatever it was, servants of the whole kingdom. Daniel was one of the three presidents. And of course, for some reason, his underservants, if you want to call it that way, had a problem with Daniel. They were so jealous. They were envious. And they watched him. They spied on him. "Can we find anything wrong with him? Can we find anything wrong?" They tried hard. Well, you know, most of us, people don't have to look too hard for some of our faults if they're looking for them. But we desire that excellent spirit as well. And that is the Spirit of God who rules and reigns in our hearts and in our lives, in our conduct, in our behavior. God wants to have preeminence, His Spirit, to help us to walk in His ways and not take our own way. Daniel knew that those men had talked to the king, but they didn't include him when they went to the king, did they? They left him out of the picture. But they asked the king in a very matter-of-factly way, "King, could you make a decree that anyone else that would pray any other god but you will be cast into the den of lions. Now, Daniel knew that this thing was done, and he knew that it was signed, and it was the law of the Medes and the Persians, and it's not going to change. Did he flinch? Did he quit? He went on serving God. And time came when these guys, they'd come over, they'd watch Daniel, they'd watch him pray. And then they went to the king again. Said, "King, didn't you sign this law into effect that says if anyone prays to any other god than you, he's going to be cast into the den of lions?" He said, "Yes, that's it. That's the law of the Medes and the Persians." Well, he says, now this Daniel out here, he's not listening to that. He's praying to his God. In chapter 6 here, it pleased Darius. It pleased him to set Daniel as one of the presidents. And then Darius had a problem. He loved Daniel. He appreciated Daniel. There was nothing wrong with Daniel. Yes, he was flesh and blood. He probably wasn't perfect like our perfect example, Jesus Christ. But he did his job well. And he served his God, which was the living God. But anyhow, Darius worked the rest of that day to try and avoid putting Daniel into the lion's den. But it didn't work. He had to put it in. He had to go down there and he was watching. He didn't do the moving of the stone. But they moved that stone, and I'm sure Daniel just walked in. And the king said, "Daniel," he said, "your God is able to keep you from the lions." You know, he was convinced already. Now, I don't know how much of the past he knew it all. I'm sure it was all on record what Nebuchadnezzar went through and what Belshazzar went through. And here was Darius. And I'm sure he knew that history. And he just said, "Your God that you serve continually will keep you from the lions." Well, they put him in. And just recently, I was told from some that were over there, wherever this was, and said the arrangement was something like the Colosseum at Caesarea, north of Jerusalem, where Paul was taken. And I was there at that Colosseum personally, and that had little holes underneath it was just like these stadiums they build. You know, there was a section there, and then it went up with seats, filled with seats. And the people could sit there and watch. And they would have a lifting up of the lions' holes. Now, I'm not sure. I think Daniel just walked right in to the lions, from what I can see or what I can imagine. He just walked in there, and some of the people were sitting up there watching him. Now, I don't know. This man told me that Daniel went in there, and I don't know where this is from. This may just be a story. But I can just imagine Daniel walking in there, and he walked up to this big lion, and he just stroked his mane and just went on over to the next one. They were just as friendly as our cats that like to sit on our porch all the time. Can you imagine the power of God? And probably walked over and stroked some of the female lions. The people thought he was crazy not to just simply say, "Okay, I won't do this anymore. I won't pray to God." Uh-uh, not Daniel. Let's take an example of that. And of course, the people watched all this. Maybe. And I just, excuse me, you know, I don't read this in the Bible. And I want you to know that. But it's just the idea that this man told me this is the way it was. And of course, Almighty God had already shut the lions. I don't know, it might not have been dark when they put Daniel in that evening. But King Darius went home and he did not sleep. Neither did he eat. Neither did he have his music going that evening. He was so burdened because of this situation. And Daniel was down there stroking the lions. Huh? Well, anyhow, the next morning he went out straightway and called out to Daniel. Daniel, did thy God, whom thou servest continually, did he deliver thee? Something like that. And Daniel called and said, yes, God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths. And, they let him out. And I'm not sure, it says here, that the king commanded, and they brought those men who were jealous and accused Daniel and cast them into the den of lions. I'm thinking maybe they just took them, their families, their children, their wives and everything, and just pushed them over these walls down into the lions, because it says the lions grabbed them and break their bones before they even touched the ground. God is serious when he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. God is serious. They had that those fiery trials. And then we read on here in our text that I get the page again. Peter writes on about the this salvation. And he goes on to say, no, we haven't seen the Lord, but we believe in him. In verse 8, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Have you experienced that joy unspeakable and full of glory? I think we all know that verse, especially the chorus. Joy, it is joy unspeakable, full of glory. Can we sing that? Just stand up. I think you need to just stretch your legs a little bit. I think it goes like, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory, glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. Can we say amen to that? Amen. You may be seated. So, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. This is and he goes on to speak about the prophets, how they search diligently, and when or in what way. And they waited. They waited for years and years. After all these prophecies were brought to them by the prophets, and about the Savior coming, and Moses even said a prophet like me will be raised up from your brethren. And of course, he goes on and says there, unto whom it was revealed that not to themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported to you. Notice how every generation carried it on down. That's because we have it today. This wonderful salvation reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. You know, the angels are the messengers of God. The angels were created to be angels. We are created as people. We have flesh and blood. But this salvation that is promised to us, that we can receive through the precious blood of Jesus, the redemption from our sins, it is real for us. And the angels will not experience that. Have you ever thought about that? The angels desire to look into it. And I think that's the time when the angels will stand back, and the Christians, the people of God, when the angels will be the servers, when the great marriage feast, the supper of the Lamb is brought to be into being. I don't know. But it's going to be so wonderful, and the angels will stand back, and the people of God, the cleansed, those that had their testimony, and that they loved their lives not unto death, those will be in the forefront when we get home to be with the Lord Jesus and the Father God. And so there were sacrifices made, you know. And then in verse 13, I believe he starts especially, at this point he starts teaching the holiness of God. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Why does he start with our mind first? Because our mind has a power over us, the things we think about. If we don't discard or reject those out of our mind, it will take us where we don't want to go. So therefore, he says, gird up the mind, the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace, the unmerited favor of God that is brought to us through the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he goes on, as obedient children. Are we obedient children? Are we glorifying God? Are we doing what he wants us to? God help us. Yes, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. But let us correct those mistakes. Those mistakes are sin, when we don't really and truly obey God. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts of your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now here he says, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Now I'm not sure what the NIV or these other modern-day translations say. The German would say, be ye holy in all manner of life. German says, ihr sollt heilig sein und ich bin heilig, und ihr sollt in allen Ehren wandeln, in all of your walk of life, as you walk, as you go the your way in life. And then he says in verse 18, verse 17, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work. It is so necessary that we pass the time of our sojourning here in fear, as Noah. When he got the instructions, we're getting these instructions. Noah got the instructions from God, and the Bible says he done everything as God instructed him. And the Hebrew writer says that Noah moved with fear in preparing the ark to the saving of his household, the saving of his family, moving with fear. Oh, I fear sometimes that we are not walking in the fear of God as much as we should. Paul was speaking to the Galatians when he says that I fear that Eve is again listening to the voice of the serpent. Now, what does that entail? Are we venturing away, listening to another voice rather than God? And we're not staying within the terms of what God has set forth for our lives? Something to consider, and men as well. We can listen to that other voice too at times. So, let us continue in the fear of the Lord, because for as much as we know that we are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver or gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, we're even do you know all these rituals and all these sacrifices that were done in the law of Moses, and even when Jesus was born, when he was eight days old, he was taken to the temple. Joseph and Mary were poor people, like some of us, and they didn't have the money to buy a sheep or even a lamb. So he bought two turtle doves and sacrificed those because of the man-child that broke the mother's womb. And that was under the law. And all these sacrifices pointed to the perfect lamb, Jesus Christ. All these rituals, this blood that was spilled, you know, were a forerunner of verse 19 here. And I'm going to read verse 18 again. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He is the ultimate sacrifice. He is the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And then he says, goes on and says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. God already knew when the world was formed that man would fail. He had foreordained this, and he has also chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should live holy and without blemish before him in love. Oh, may we strive for that position in our sojourn here. And he says, who by him do believe in God that was raised up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. There is none else. And God says, I change not. I failed to bring out one point in Leviticus on the sacrifice there, where the people were, Aaron was supposed to take two goats, and also they were supposed to cast lots, one for the Lord and one for the people. So the lot that fell on the one for the Lord was sacrificed on the altar. And I think this took place once a year as well. But anyhow, and maybe often, I'm not exactly sure on that. But he said, this one here needs to be slaughtered, the blood sprinkled, the carcass sacrificed and burnt on the altar. But there was a daily sacrifice for the sins of the people, a daily sacrifice. The fire on that altar did not even go out. But on the other goat, Aaron was supposed to lay his hands on his head and pronounce all the sins, the iniquities, the transgressions of the people were on him. He carried all those, and then a certain man was chosen to lead this goat out into the wilderness and there turn him loose, possibly to be eaten by some wild animals. And that took care. That was just another sacrifice pointing to Jesus Christ, who was the ultimate sacrifice, who sacrificed his life on the cross. The cross of Christ. And we have that hope because he redeemed us. In verse 22, seeing then that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, really obeying the truth that God has given us, even the Ten Commandments, do we obey those? He says, through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another of a pure heart fervently. Unfeigned love. In the German it says ungefärbter Liebe. And farb is paint. And this year, I think he's saying, telling us here that we would, our love would be not painted over. It wouldn't be a false love. Paul writes that in the Romans in the 12th chapter. Love, let love be without dissimulation. Die Liebe sei nicht falsch, not false, in the German it says. And so may that love be pure and fervent from our hearts, because of the love of God constrains us to love our brethren. And John could say, we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. And Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye love one another. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Oh, friends, are we displaying that type of love? That the people around us, the community people, our neighbors, our lights, are they bright? Do they see that we are like our Anabaptist forefathers, their opponents from the Protestant churches and Catholic churches? They hated them. But one thing that they wrote about them was, oh, how they loved each other. That's wonderful. Verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower therefore falleth away. You know, why do we think so much of ourselves and want to glory in ourselves and lift up ourselves? That is listening to that other voice. So may God help us. And I really appreciated the study through Corinthians and the gospel message to us there, and being a separated people unto God, brought out from the world. So that verse 24, it just says how frail we are and that we should not glory in ourselves. The glory of man is as a flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower therefore falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This is not my word, but it's God's word. And may I just use the last verse of the devotional this morning. Those that hear, whoso is wise, will give, I can't even get it all, will observe these things and understand the loving kindness of God. Those who are wise, may we truly take heed to these instructions and be holy. Ask God to make us holy as we surrender all to Him. And because of His love, He will give us the grace, the strength. He will cleanse us. We plead the blood of Jesus. And He will truly give us the strength and courage to press on, even going into the lion's den if we have to. May the trial of our faith be precious, precious to us. God bless you. Thank you for your prayers and your attentiveness. Let's kneel for prayer.